You have your Bibles this morning. We invite you to turn with us to the book of Hebrews. We'll look at chapter number 11 this morning. At least that's where we'll begin. We want to look at verse 23 this morning. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This morning we want to look at Moses' mother. Her name is Jochebed. We want to look at this thought, the faithful ministry of a godly mother. Let's pray. Father, and we thank you for this privilege that we've had this morning to honor our mothers. But most importantly, we honor you. We honor your sacrifice in your son, Jesus Christ. And we've come today to worship him. And Lord, we ask your blessings now upon this time of preaching, that you might fill us with the Spirit of God and enable us to preach, God, as only you can. Help us, Lord, to boldly speak the oracles of God. Thank you for this great audience that's here today. For those who listen by way of internet, and for those, Father, who listen by way of radio, and these that are present, God, I ask your blessing upon each one today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, certainly Mother's Day is a very special day, isn't it? It's a day when we remember our mothers, and it's a day when we give them gifts, we tell them that we love them, it is a day that we make phone calls. There was a wealthy son one time who he wanted to do something special for his mother, and when he was overseas, he went to a pet shop, and when he went through the pet shop, he found there a bird that could quote the 23rd Psalm. In fact, the bird could sing Amazing Grace. And he went to the storekeeper there and he said, "How much is that bird? Is it for sale?" And he said, "Well, it is for sale, but no one's ever going to buy it." He said, "It's $30,000. Well, the boy said, "What's $30,000 to me? I'm very wealthy." So he paid the man $30,000 and had the bird shipped from overseas back home to the United States to his mother for Mother's Day. And the young man continued on his vacation. And on Mother's Day specifically, he called home to check on his mom. And he said, "Mom, happy Mother's Day. I love you. Did you get the present that I sent you, the beautiful bird?" She said, "Yes, I did, son." He said, "Well, what did you think?" She said, "Son, I want to thank you so much because it was delicious." Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." If you have a godly mother, you're not poor this morning. You're rich. Let's turn back to the book of Exodus chapter 2. Let's read the story of Jochebed, Amram, and their family. Exodus chapter number 2. First point this morning found in verses 1 and verse number 2. "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." First point. We see a mother's confidence in God's provision. Now please understand, A, they live in very dark days in this time. Why, Preacher Darren? Because the Jews are held in captivity and in bondage to Egypt. Pharaoh is a hard taskmaster. He is causing them to serve with rigor and great hardship. They're building and making bricks, and they're having to bow down to a Pharaoh. It's a very hard time. And we find in this day of hardship, this day of difficulty, we find a man of the tribe of Levi. The Bible tells us another place that his name is Amram. And he took a daughter of the tribe of Levi. He was marrying from his own tribe.
He took a daughter, and her name was Jochebed. And they were just two peasant, common slaves. And they started a little family. They first had a beautiful daughter. Her name was Miriam. She was a godly young lady. Then they had another son. His name was Aaron. And now they're getting ready to have child number three. In her womb is another child during this terrible time of difficulty. Let me say this to you this morning. I know the days in which we live this morning, they are hard days. They are difficult days, financially, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. But I want to say this. To raise a family in dark days, in hard days, in difficult days, is certainly quite an undertaking. Not only was it days of difficulty, but I want you to see another thing, that it was days of danger. Look in the previous chapter, chapter 1, verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So the law of the land is, if someone has a baby, this is after Miriam and Aaron were born, Pharaoh says, if you have a baby boy, he is to be cast into the river and is to be drowned. But if you have a girl, she may live. These were days of danger. And certainly we live in dangerous days today as well. I mean, they tell me that one of the most dangerous places for a child to be is in the womb of a mother. For there have been more than 47 million abortions. More deaths than the Holocaust, than World War II or World War I combined. Days of danger. Now, I want you to see also their days of distress. The impending arrival of a baby should be a great time of joy. Amen? A great time of anticipation. It should be a time of great excitement. For Amram and Jochebed, it's a time of great grief and great distress. Why, Preacher Darren? Because not only do they have the concern that the baby would be born healthy, but if it's a boy, their baby's going to be put to death. So they have an abnormal concern. They're very distressing days. Fourthly, they have a day of determination. When she bare that child, I believe she asked the midwife and said, what is it? What is it? And the midwife said, it's a boy. And immediately heartache set in Jochebed's heart. Oh, the Pharaoh is going to throw him in the river. And she looks at the midwife and begins to beg for the life of the child. And the midwife said, no, no, ma'am. I fear God. I'll not harm your child. I'll help protect your child. But God help us both if the people of Egypt find out that there's been a boy born in your home. You'll have to put him to death. But Jochebed said, I'm going to honor God. And though it's dark days and difficult days and dangerous days and distressing days, I'm going to raise my child to serve Jesus Christ. And so she determines in her heart, she has faith that she's going to ignore the law of the land and she's going to respect the law of the Lord and allow her child to live. Look with me. As the Bible says, when she saw him, she saw that he was a goodly child. Now, all women believe their babies are handsome, believe their babies are beautiful. In fact, all the daddies think their children are handsome and beautiful as well. And I've got news for you. They are. I love them. Praise God for them. But understand something. When she saw this child, it wasn't just that he was handsome or goodly or proper. What she saw in this child was, she saw by faith that this child was something special. That this child was a child of destiny. And did you know for all mothers, your children are children of destiny? Let me say this. When we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it said, by faith, by faith. You realize the scripture teaches us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't have faith until first you've had a word from God. Now, Amram and Jochebed have faith. But where did they get a word from God? Don't turn there, but in Genesis 15, God had given a prophecy to Abraham. And he said, your family in four generations will serve 400 years in bondage in Egypt. And Jochebed and Amram had been calculating how long they had their family had lived in bondage, and they figured out it was pretty close to 400 years. And when they saw the child, they said, maybe God will grow him up and use him to be special in the kingdom of God that he might deliver us as a people. They saw this child by faith that he was something special. Mother, do you see your child by faith that he or she, they are something special? Give them an opportunity not just to be a little Moses, but let them grow up to be a big Moses and see how things turn out. You know, it's a day in which we live that it's amazing that children don't have a chance to live anymore. You know, they never have the opportunity to grow into what God intended them to be. A group of students at UCLA were polled. They said, we're going to give you a family history. You tell us what to do. The father has syphilis. The mother has tuberculosis. They have four children. The first one was born blind. The second one died. The third one is deaf. The fourth one has tuberculosis. And now the mother is pregnant with a fifth child. What do you do? Most of the students at UCLA said, it's time to abort that baby. Congratulations. You have just murdered Beethoven. That was the exact situation that Beethoven was born into. I know the days are tough this morning. I know they are. But I want to encourage you, don't yield to the terror of the times. Okay? So number one, we see a mother who's got confidence in God's provision. He's given her a child, and she said, I'm going to allow my child to live. Number two, I want you to see a mother's commitment to God's protection. She saw that baby was a goodly child, and she hid him for 3 months. They put their faith to action. Now, I want to say this to you. Some people say, well, I'm trusting God, but all they do is sit around and say, well, I'm just trusting God with this. What are you going to do about this? You've got this in your life. Well, I'm just going to sit here and trust God. But I want to say this, real faith has legs on it. It doesn't just pray and say, I'm trusting God, but it starts to develop legs on it. You realize just to sit around and do nothing is fatalism? Amen. And the opposite of fatalism is fanaticism. That's where you say, well, I'm just going to turn the baby over to the crocodiles and throw him in the Nile River and just see what happens to him. Maybe he'll swim. That's fanaticism. So let me say this morning, there are mothers here that you would do everything you could to shelter your child from the negative influences of our society. Can I get an amen, Mom? There are mothers here today that say, I want to make sure that my children are sheltered from the influences of the pharaohs of this world. If you want your son or your daughter to grow up and be a holy man of God or a pure woman of God, then you better get busy. Are you praying for them? Are you teaching them? Are you training them? Now, there's a lot of people that I talk to said, oh, yes, I'm trusting God to take care of my children. Really. But real faith goes further than just that. It puts legs on the prayers. Do you bring your child to Sunday school? Do you put them under a good born-again Sunday school teacher to train them in the Word of God? Let me say this. When you planted your garden, any of y'all have a garden? Do you have tomato plants? Anybody here ever raised up tomato plants? We need participation this morning. Do you just let the weeds take them? Do you just turn your tomato plants over to the weeds? You just turn the green beans over to the weeds and say, well, we'll just see what happens. I hope for the best. I'm trusting God. God will keep the weeds down. Or do you go out from time to time and you pull the weeds? I mean, if you wouldn't turn your tomato plants over to the weeds, why would you turn your children over to the world the way you do? The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go, And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now the word train is not the word teach. It's good, mother, for you to teach them. But I have news for you. When the world gets them, they'll teach them. They'll teach them maybe something different than you have been teaching them. Anything you teach him, somebody else could teach him. And it may be something different. So Preacher Darren, what does it mean to train? Well, I'm glad you asked me. It's like getting ready for a football game or a basketball game, getting ready for a contest. It means you instruct by constant exercise. It's to drill. It is to form to a proper shape. It is to discipline for use. It is over and over and over again working in their lives to teach them and go further to train them in the things of God. It's amazing how often we'll take our kids to ball practices, but we seldom read them the Word of God. Amen, Preacher Darren. I knew you'd get quiet right there. Number three, I want you to see a mother's courage in God's preservation. The Bible said in verse 3, she hid him for 3 months, but when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. You understand that no longer could she hide the child because the child had a good set of lungs. And now he's crying. I mean, surely Pharaoh, some of them Egyptians are going to hear my boy. What am I going to do? Well, I think she heard about a story by the man Noah. And when the flood came to the world and God's judgment was coming down, Noah built an ark. And he and his family got on board that ark. And everyone that trusted that ark for salvation, they were spared. Isn't that a great story? And this girl, Jochebed, she hears about an ark. And she says, you know what? I'm going to get a little ark for my child. And she takes basically a papyrus box. And the Bible says she dabbed it, or she began to put pitch on it. That is, she waterproofed it inside and outside. And then you know what she did? She took her baby, the one she loved with all her heart, with tears streaming down her face. She put that baby in that ark. And she covered him up. And she took him and said, you know, they said I was supposed to put you in the Nile River to drown you to start with. But I'm going to put you inside this little ark. And she said, I'm going to trust God to take you where you need to be, that you might be delivered safely. And I want to say this. This little ark represents salvation through Jesus Christ. And I want to make a very strong point right here. Preacher, what can I do? You cannot deliver your children from the culture that surrounds us completely. So society will seep in on them. But you know what you can do, Mom? You can say, you know what? I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to make sure that my child gets into an ark of safety. The first thing you need to do is you need to make sure, Mother, you're saved yourself. You need to have a relationship personally with Jesus Christ. It's made all the difference in my life. And then you need to know that society's coming for your children. It is. So, Preacher, what can I do? You make sure that they get into an ark of safety, which is salvation by Jesus Christ. You teach them, you train them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you put them in that ark of safety. And then when you have to put them down that old river, God will guide them. God will bless them because they're on board with Jesus. And Jesus ain't never going to sink, amen? I say hallelujah to God for that beautiful truth this morning. So we see this mother's commitment to God's preservation. The Bible said that his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. That big sister Miriam's watching the whole time. Number four, and I'm done. Verse 5 teaches us about a mother's comfort in God's providence. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Can you just imagine? Jochebed said goodbye to her child. It's time that it's put in the Nile River. And there it goes floating away. Miriam's watching from a distance. And the same time that river's just in by the river's brink, floating so graciously. I mean, preacher, there's crocodiles in that river. God will protect it. Preacher Darren, there's big waves in that river that might flip that little ark over and drown that child. God will take care of it. Why? Because she's put her faith in the Lord. And about that time come down Pharaoh's daughter. What had Pharaoh said? Pharaoh said, if a baby boy is born, put it in the river that it might drown. Here's his daughter. She sees that ark. She tells her maid, go fetch me that ark. And that maid goes over down in the water and she picks it up. She brings it back to her and she opens the top of it. And about the time she opened it up, I believe an angel reached inside there and pinched on Moses. And he began to cry. And right then a woman's heart and the cries of a baby were put together. And she said, this is one of the Hebrew children. She recognized maybe the things he was wrapped in, swaddling clothes probably, which represents death clothes. She realized it was one of the Hebrews' children and it deserved to die, but she thought, I'm going to hide it from my daddy. I ain't going to let him know, amen. And the Bible said in verse number 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? About the same time, little old Miriam comes running up and says, Miss Princess, I mean, do you need someone to nurse this baby for you? Quickly, Pharaoh's daughter made a decision. Look what she said. She said to her, she said, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Praise God. Can you imagine the joy? I mean, here the Pharaoh's daughter's got this little basket and a baby crying, and Miriam says, do you need a nurse for the baby? I sure do. I'll get a Hebrew nurse. Go. She goes and gets her mama. Jochebed comes, and Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, says to Moses' mother, Jochebed, take this child, nurse it for me, and I'll give you wages. Boy, if my mama had got paid for taking care of me, Lord God, I'd have been in the ark a long time ago. In fact, I remember when we brought little old Shelby home some 23 years ago, I was going to set out to be the perfect daddy. I was going to teach her, going to train her. And I came home and she began to cry. And at nighttime, I would get her and I'd pace her and I'd sing Precious Memories until Shelby went to sleep. And when I laid her down, immediately she realized that she wasn't being carried anymore and she'd start. And finally I said, Gina, your youngin's crying. You're going to have to do something about it. Shelby, if we would have had an ark back then, honey. I'm just kidding. We'd have done that to your brother, not you. Just kidding, Luke. We love you too, son. Pharaoh's daughter hired the mother to raise her own child. I feel like God's saying something from that verse. Mother, you take care of the children that I've entrusted to you, and I will give you a good payday. Hallelujah. Can you imagine Jochebed as she put that babe in the river and she said goodbye to it? Can you imagine the joy of getting it back? And now she gets paid for raising it. Can you imagine when they went behind that little slave hut door and shut it? Don't you know they broke loose and, well, glory to God, look what Jesus has done for us. Ain't God good? We just live by faith and trust in the Lord and we've got our baby back. Hallelujah. I think she began to train Moses. As he was growing up, I think she said, Moses, number one, I want you to remember who you are. You're special. You are a child of destiny. And I want you to know your mom and daddy we love you very much. And I think he heard it every day. For she realized how she almost lost it. Now, I think number two, she said, let me tell you something. We're living, son, in an Egyptian culture. There are many false gods and many things that are around us that will distract you, but I want you to know one thing. We serve the Lord God, who's the living God. He's creator God. He is savior God. And son, no matter where you go, don't you ever forget who you belong to. You belong to the Lord God Almighty. And that little boy, in his years of early development, it came time for him to go to school. Pharaoh's daughter sent the chariot. It's time to pick up little Moses and take him to school. Let's read verse 10 and I'll close. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses, and she said, because I draw him out of the water. There's no doubt about it that Pharaoh's daughter took Moses to school. He went to the best universities that Egypt had. They taught him about the solar system. They divided the year into 12 months and the month into 30 days. They taught him about chemistry. They were the greatest at embalming bodies. No other culture had ever learned this. They taught him so many things in his life. But the one thing he needed, they disregarded. And that is that there is a God in glory that we need to call upon for salvation. I want you to know when Moses, the Bible, we read it there in Hebrews 11, verse number 23 and 24, that when he came to age, in other words, Acts will tell us, he became a mighty man in word and in deed. He was a statesman. He was in line to be the next Pharaoh. And the word refused means when it came his time to take the office, he stepped away from it. Can you imagine? He would have been the most powerful, influential man in all of human history at that point in time. And the Bible said he refused it because he said, I belong to the Lord God. And he refused all the world had to offer. And he said, I'd rather have Jesus as anything I know.